You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Thursday morning, June 26th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota, from wherever you're spending your mornings listening across the Civic Media Radio Network or catching us on social media. We appreciate you starting your day right here. I got a question for you. What have you gotten for rain so far? We've gotten something around 2 inches, maybe close to 2 inches here in the Chippewa Valley and parts of it. And I know other people got quite a bit more, and we're not done with it yet. Brittany Merlot will tell us more about that in her forecast in about an hour here. Good morning, Tony and Ashland, checking in up on YouTube there. Coming up on the program today, we're going to talk about a couple of state Supreme Court rulings, and I'm not going to lie, they're kind of head-scratchers to me. I'm feeling like we have set a precedent that is not going to go well for the state, especially in terms of the state budget, for example. We'll talk about how the state Supreme Court, and unanimously, by the way, said that the way that Governor Tony Evers vetoed a bill that helped allocate where funding would go for literacy programs was not actually a bill that allocated funding. And so, therefore, he couldn't use his partial vetoes on it. And that the way that the legislature set it up by splitting the allocation process over three different bills and sending that money into a different fund instead of the Department of Public Instruction is okay. But I don't think it is. I think we've now set ourselves up for a permanent slush fund to be used by the legislature's Joint Finance Committee. I will explain coming up. Then in another decision, and this one, we don't know the vote and we don't know anything because no opinion was given. They simply rejected a challenge to the state's congressional boundaries. You will recall that when the court flipped control from 15 years of conservative rule to progressives, one of the first things that was done was the gerrymandered legislative maps were made more fair. A process was started under which the maps were changed. The congressional maps were not challenged as quickly, and now the state Supreme Court has said they're not going to hear a challenge to the congressional maps for right now. Again, a little puzzling for reasons we'll get into during the course of the program here. In our 8 o'clock hour, we'll have Melissa Baldoff with this week's climate check. I know it's Thursday. You heard Joe Zepecki yesterday. Joe and Melissa, we switched places with them this week. But Melissa will be along at 8:30, and we'll be talking about how it really is that simple. When you ban plastic shopping bags, you get less pollution. And you know this by instinct, but a group looked at literally thousands of cleanup efforts, you know, around the country, especially along shorelines, for example, and found anywhere from a 25 to 50% reduction in plastic bag litter. And it's not like we can't do this or at least incentivize people using, you know, their own bags instead of all the plastic bags. And so we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about how one of the nation's big automakers is saying that even though the Trump administration is at war with clean energy, it's going to go ahead and continue building a large new battery plant in Michigan, even without the tax incentives. Even if the Trump administration kills the tax incentives, they're going to do it because that's where the people want to go. They want cleaner sources of energy. They want more battery power. They want more EVs and not fossil fuels. So we'll cover all of that. We'll talk to Sean O'Malley about money in the markets and the way that last week's U.S. airstrike on Iran may have an impact on the markets in all sorts of different ways. And Sherita Booker will be along to tell us about some of the big events to plan for this weekend around Wisconsin. Some big, some small, some very interesting, some involving an interesting flavor of bratwurst. We'll get into all that and more coming up. But first at 6:11 here, I've got Brittany Merlot's forecast for today, and then we'll hear live from her coming up in the next hour. It says, waves of rain will continue to increase the threat for flooding before drier weather returns for tomorrow and into the weekend. Our forecast for the state today, mostly cloudy and muggy with periods of showers and thunderstorms. Highs in the upper 60s up north, low 80s south, and an east wind at 10 to 20 miles an hour. For tonight, another wave of showers and storms likely with heavy rain. Lows tonight in the mid-50s up north, mid-60s south, and the wind will switch and come out of the north at 5 to 10 miles an hour. It is a cool and comfortable 59 degrees here in Chippewa Falls as we bring in the happiest young man in civic media these days who got to play a little bit of hooky, hang out at American Family Field, and see a tremendous Brewers game against the Pittsburgh Pirates. That would be Parker Olson, who's here. We did not see a perfect game out of Mr. Jacob Mizorowski, or Paul Skeens for that matter, but Parker believes he had a perfect game at American Family Field yesterday, didn't you?
I do. I really think that I pitched a perfect game yesterday. I showed up. I showed up, you know, between innings. You got those little mini games on the video board?
Yeah.
Perfect. I won every single one of them.
What, like guess the attendance and...
Yeah. Yeah, what like what higher, lower on like the cards, that stuff.
Okay.
I was I had the ball under the cap. I had that the whole way. It was five, Pat.
Of
I
course
knew
you
that.
Did.
I had
yes.
that. Okay.
Okay.
So I got that. My favorite racing sausage won. And I I am burdened with being a lover of Cinco the Chorizo, which is really difficult because he is the most difficult sausage to race, and usually he sucks. Because he's really top heavy, so it's hard to like really go without falling on your face.
Wait, so there's actually a science to this. There's aerodynamics behind the sausage race with the costumes.
The sombrero is so big. It like
That's true. You do not see a sombrero on anything at NASCAR. The aerodynamics do not work to put a big hat on top of your car. Okay, continue.
So I got those two things. Okay.
Uh huh. All right.
Club seats, come on. Civic Media, you rock. You guys, free ticket Friday tomorrow. Make sure that you're getting those free tickets if you can. That's a good call. So that helps.
Oh my God, they're great seats.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Jacob Mizorowski, come on. Throwing gas. Mm-hmm. Paul Skeens was there too, so that was kind of cool. And Brewers won.
And the Brewers did win.
Perfect game.
And I'll tell you what, we were talking, you know, talking big at the bar there about, oh, that's nine innings of no hit ball by both pitchers. Yeah, it wasn't anything like that. I mean, technically, you could have left after the second inning. Paul Skeens in the second inning, this is last year's rookie of the year. And in the second inning, all nine Brewers came to the plate. Four runs on four hits.
Yeah.
Nothing like that had ever happened to Skeens before. He only lasted four innings. Though, to be fair, the players behind him, Pittsburgh's defense, they're not good.
No.
I mean, they made some big mistakes. But Jacob Mizorowski threw five shutout innings, again, in only his third major league start. And so the Brewers ended up winning. Those four runs in the second inning were all they needed for a 4-2 victory yesterday afternoon. So Jacob Mizorowski now has three wins and has given up only three hits in his first three career outings that hasn't been done since at least 1901. This kid.
That rocks. Really,
it does. It's just so cool. And I hate the fact that I'm now genuinely frightened for this guy, you know, because when you're throwing gas like that, I mean, how long can you do that?
I took a picture of it and I posted it somewhere. Mizorowski had five pitches in a row all over 100 to strike a guy out.
Yeah.
That's not fair.
Saw that. Tickling 102 on the radar. It just seems you know.
That's not starting stuff.
It's superhuman. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really, really something. Roger and Stevens Point on Facebook yesterday was game number 81. So The first half of the season is in the books, kids. And we have a record, the Brewers do, of 45-36. Wow, 9 games above 500. And Roger writes, I think the second half will be better than the first. We are going to knock the Cubbies out of first place. I believe him. I think we're getting those Cubs out of first place real soon here.
We are just 2.5 back. Wow.
Not today, though. Brewers can't do it today, only because they have the day off. But they stay home. They're in the middle of a homestand here, so they actually get some home cooking today. And then Colorado comes to town for 3 games this weekend. So we will be well-rested. I was like, you know, like how it's we now when the team is going well? You know,
oh,
we,
yeah.
We will be ready for when the Rockies come to town.
We'll feel good.
Let's see. We've got, who else do we get? Oh, rain reports here from Tony up in Ashland. Tons of rain. Actually worked on the deck in the rain last night. Very relaxing. What did he do on the deck in the rain last night? That was so relaxing. Please don't tell me it was staining. Waterproofing? I don't know. Maybe something like that. Alicia says it's sprinkling over in Marinette. Love that we have people commenting from all the corners of the state. And you are welcome to as well. We'd love to have you jump in the comment section, either on Facebook or YouTube. You can catch us on the Up North News Facebook and YouTube pages and the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. Though as I'm looking up at the top of my screen here, it says there is a problem streaming right now to the Up North News Facebook page. The others are going through just fine, including my page, facebook.com/morningswithpatcreitlow. You can go there as well. Not with that attitude, Pat. Tony writes, it was covered. Oh, the deck was covered. Okay.
Well, then did you work in the rain, Tony?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you have like a three-season porch or something like that, or a screened-in porch, and the rain isn't like blowing in sideways, if you get a chance to work in that kind of a condition, that's actually really nice. That is relaxing.
Okay.
Very, very therapeutic, shall we say.
The sounds of the little raindrops on there. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like one of those, you know, nature tapes or something like that. Yeah. But for reals, you know. Let me take a look here and see if the Up North News Daily newsletter has come in. Why, yes, it has, as it always does, right around 5 a.m. or so. And let's see. Christina Laurie is continuing our Food Network series, 25 Iconic Eats and Drinks from America's Dairyland, and talks about the, is it Morel mushrooms that you can get? And Viroqua's Driftless Cafe is one of those places that gets a shout out for its ever-changing menu of locally sourced foods. So you've got that story in there. And a first of its kind UW Health Clinic to perfect the practice of anesthesia. The pre-anesthesia clinic works one-on-one with patients to evaluate their individual anesthesiology needs. The goal is to decrease anesthesia and potential complications. I don't know about you. When I think pre-anesthesia, I'm thinking of like Bugs Bunny cartoons with the big mallet, you know, that hits you on the head, or, you know, a can of ether or something.
Just whack him and he'll be fine.
Yeah. But look, if it works and you need less anesthesia, because again, one of the things about being married to a physician and a surgeon is you learn about these things and the importance of a really good anesthesiologist and the science of it. So again, read more about it in our newsletter for the serious take on what we're trying to make fun of over here. All right, we're going to examine some state Supreme Court decisions that are kind of head scratchers as we move forward with the state budget process. First, I'll tell you that from the heart of America's Up North, we are live from Lake Wasota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Now it's time to check in on things that you can do this weekend with Sherita Booker, social media manager at Up North News, and also the keeper of the community calendar, I guess you could call it. Hey, Sherita, how are you?
Good, Pat. How are you?
Good. How did you beat the heat last weekend? Did you go to any festivals? Did you just sit in a kiddie pool all day? or did you foolishly engage in some kind of sports activity?
I did that for a little bit. I played pickleball on Saturday morning, and it was so hot. Everybody was just complaining. But then we came home to our air conditioners and just laid up.
That makes sense. Go do something just long enough so that when you come home, you appreciate the air conditioning. And never leave it for the rest of the weekend. I could totally see doing that. All right, it won't be like that this weekend. And so for folks who are going to get out and about, here are several ideas for you. It's Wisconsin. Let's start with cheese. We got the Cheese Curd Festival going on in Ellsworth.
Yep, and that's kicking off this Saturday and Sunday at East End Park. And there will be a range of classic fresh curds and deep fried flavors like buffalo, garlic, jalapeno, bacon. And this year's feature is hot honey. You can also try some of their tastings like beer and curds, milk and cookie pairings for the kids, and a Cedar Crest ice cream tasting. And of course, there will be live music and shopping. And the event wouldn't be complete without a cheese curd eating contest, which will be held Saturday at 2 p.m. And this event is free, so bring the whole family. And for more details, visit cheesecurdfestival.com.
Oh my goodness, hot honey. Wow.
Sounds good.
That's what they ought to do, is a hot honey cheese curd eating contest. Let's just make it a real challenge here. And I'm looking at the food truck list here. We got barbecue, we got tacos, grandma's cookies, Holy Donuts is going to be there, corn dogs and fritters. So if you think this is just about cheese curds, you need to think again. Closer to your neck of the woods in the southeastern part of the state, the Cedarburg Strawberry Festival. That thing has really taken off over the years and is quite popular.
Yep, that's coming up this Saturday and Sunday. And this is also another free family event. So in addition to fresh strawberries, there will be strawberry-themed food like a strawberry brat, strawberry chicken salad wraps, strawberry shortcakes, strawberry crepes, strawberry wine, and tons of other local food and vendor marketplaces. And if you're bringing the kids, there will be an entire party in the park at Cedar Creek Park that will include a bounce house, petting zoo, bumper boats, face painting, and a live mermaid and balloon performance. And you can get more info about that at cedarburgfestivals.org.
Yeah, if you go to cedarburgfestivals.org, you'll be like, wait, is that the one I went to before? Maybe not. Maybe it was the Wine and Harvest Festival, the Oktoberfest, the Winter Festival, the Cedarburg Christmas. They've got them all lined up just at this one website for all of your festival needs in beautiful Cedarburg. All right, let's come back over to the western side of the state for this weekend's Toma Tractor Pull.
And they're celebrating their 50th anniversary this year. And that's today through Sunday in Toma. The top pullers from the U.S. and Canada will be competing for the Super National titles. And on Friday from 9 a.m. to noon, kids ages 14 and under can explore the pits, meet the drivers, get a free t-shirt, and also a free ticket to the noon session. So if you want to spend the weekend there, they do have an on-camping site ground across the street with tent and trailer options. And admission to the grounds is free, but showtime tickets range from $28 to $55. And season tickets are $126 online and $130 at the gate. They are expecting over 70,000 visitors. So if you want to grab your tickets early, head to tomatractorpull.com.
And because it notes here, there are broadcasting contracts, and so video cameras are not going to be allowed. So just, you know, put it down and enjoy. Enjoy the event as it goes on with, and all of the goings-on around it happening this weekend in Toma. There is more, of course. The county fairs are getting underway. So you've got the Marquette County Fair, which is going to get going in Westfield. Well, is underway, I should say. And that's going to run through Sunday. Then there's the Outagamie County Fair in Seymour that got its start on Wednesday. And then it will run through Sunday. And there's also the Door County North Pollinator Week Celebration. I don't know how we could have missed this one, Sherita, but it's happening in Ellison Bay.
What are they doing there?
Well, they're celebrating all the pollinators, of course.
With food, beer, wine, what?
I would imagine so. Let's see. You head over to, I got this off the Travel Wisconsin website, and what they've been doing there is there's been like a scavenger hunt throughout the course of the week, and then on Saturday there will be a parade that begins at 10 and then ends at the Ellison Bay Community Center. There will be food, there will be drinks, there will be games, music, crafts, and what's called a Bestminster dog show. Not the Westminster dog show, but the Bestminster dog show. So all kinds of attractions there for the, again, Door County North
Pollinator Week celebration. Any of these appeal to you, or are you going to be lying low this weekend?
I was thinking about going to the Cedarburg Strawberry Fest. We'll see. I'll report back next week. But I did go like 12 years ago, and it was a good time. I know that's a long time, but...
That's why I mentioned that it started rather small and has really grown since that time in popularity. So, I mean, you like a lot of these things, you won't be alone, but if you pack your patience and, get some good parking, you can eventually go in and, you know, forget about the process to get there and just focus on the process of enjoying yourself while you're there. And then looking way ahead on the schedule, just because I want people thinking about it, we're going to get through 4th of July next week. And then the following week, July 9th through the 13th, will be the Northern Wisconsin State Fair right here in beautiful Chippewa Falls. And so for these and many other events that we're tracking throughout the summer, just keep her tuned right here to these mornings powered by Up North News. And Sherita Booker will tell us all about them each and every week. Sherita, thank you so much. Hope you have a great start to the weekend.
You too, Pat.
Hold on a minute. Did she say strawberry brats? She did. Look at the Foxtown Heritage Meats strawberry brats. All right, good eating in Cedarburg this weekend, I guess. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we will have our Week in Review panel, of course, because it's Friday. We'll have Dr. Kristen Lyerly, and we will have Mike Clemens with sports. Coming up after this program at 9 o'clock, we'll have Matt Nair on air. Jane and Greg will have Jim Santel at 9:30, Brittany Merlot at 10:20, Paul Noonan, sports writer for the Acme Packing Company, at 10:30. And, of course, This Shouldn't Be a Thing, all part of Matt Nair on air, coming up at 9 o'clock here across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow from the heart of America's up north on Lake Wissota. We'll be right back. Welcome back on this Thursday morning, June 26th. One technical note, not for the radio listeners, but for folks watching on social media, the feed that we normally have from 6 to 9 a.m. here along with the radio show, we'll have to end that at 8 o'clock this morning and then restart it on the Civic Media Facebook and YouTube pages. So we'll have that little glitch for the 8 a.m. hour today. But here on the radio, you will notice no pause in the programming as we roll along. Before I jump into the... decisions yesterday by the state Supreme Court. I just want to thank all of the folks who were part of the Up North News recent fundraising campaign. And on social media, I'm now holding up just a bunch of envelopes, and I'm only showing the back of them, so I don't show people's addresses. But I have the honor of going down to the Chippewa Falls Post Office every so often, P.O. Box 27, 54729, and picking up the mail for Up North News. And every 3 months or so, once a quarter, we have a pledge drive because we, and I believe Civic Media is in this same kind of situation where you have some very large donors, you have sponsors, you have underwriters, but to really round things out, it helps to have, you know, all kinds of grassroots donation support as well. And so all of these envelopes have checks for like $25, $50, some a little bit more. We just ask people, like, we're never going to have a paywall at Up North News for the news and the features that we do. We sometimes have what's called a gate where we say, hey, can we have your email address so you can try our newsletter, see if you like it. But we're never going to have a paywall. And so we say, look, what would it be worth to you? Because I know how much a subscription can be nowadays to like the Journal Sentinel or the New York Times, Washington Post, all those things. And so, you know, if you consider this kind of your morning newspaper, we hope that you'll support us that way. And all kinds of folks do, and they send that in. And again, it's deeply appreciated. There were so many more cards and notes this time than before. People saying thank you for the wonderful newsletters. A lot of these little slips of paper, you know, that people will put a little note on. Keep up the good work. You're doing a good job. I'd like to ask a question. If not Tony Evers, who will run and get elected? We need a middle of the road, appeal to everybody kind of person from Carolyn. Well, thank you, Carolyn, for the nice note and for the question as well. And I know we've talked about that in the past. There is a pretty good bench. I'm not going to say that they're all household names right now,
But I think that if, and again, if the governor decides not to run for a third term, those names will quickly become well known as people jump into what will certainly be a Democratic primary. Let's see, this one from the Connie and Randy says, thank you for your news work and your stories from Wisconsin. As seniors, we know that our free press is at risk in these days, and we need more good reporters like you guys. Thank you for that. And this one from Margaret that says, thank you for adding your donation address to the newsletter, as I do not like to use the internet for payments. And again, that's totally fair, which is why we have the P.O. Box 27 in Chippewa Falls, 54729. So again, thanks for the support for all of that. All right, let's look at a couple of state Supreme Court decisions from yesterday that I have to tell you are a little on the head scratchy side. And let's start first with the governor and the way that he vetoed a bill that allocates that should have allocated funds for literacy programs in the state. We've talked about this several times, that the legislature approved funding for literacy programs, did the same thing for hospitals in the Chippewa Valley, for getting PFAS out of the water, so forth and so on. And then the governor used his veto powers to partially veto parts of the bill that he thought were onerous, that were micromanaging or tying the hands of people in the executive branch or at local government. And the legislature took the governor to court in the case of the literacy bill to say that what the governor vetoed, or what he did his partial vetoes to, was not actually the bill that appropriated the money. And it's important to make that distinction. When we talk about how the governor can use a partial veto, it is only on budget bills, things that allocate money. On every other bill that's not allocating money, a governor can only sign the bill or veto the bill in its entirety. He can't use his partial veto powers, okay? But here's what the legislature did. In the last state budget, the one that's about to expire here next week, so 2 years ago, there was the budget bill that had all kinds of money in it for all kinds of things in state government, and it included $50 million that it was going to use to support literacy programs. But it did not allocate the $50 million to the Department of Public Instruction. It allocated the $50 million to itself. The Joint Finance Committee has what's called a supplemental fund. Then came a bill called Act 20 that actually created the program, saying that there will be this literacy coaching program. And then 6 months after that came another bill, which became Act 100, which created a couple of different accounts for the money to eventually go into. And it was in that bill, Act 100, that said, was kind of micromanaging, saying that, you know, this much money has to go to voucher schools and has to use these kinds of curricula. And Governor Evers partially vetoed that, saying, nope, the money's all going to go into this one account. Voucher schools aren't going to get any special treatment, and we're not going to tie the hands of the Department of Public Instruction, and we're going to have a literacy program that works. The legislature sued, saying, no, you can't partially veto Act 100, which directs where the money is going, because the money was actually allocated in another bill, the budget bill, and the money was allocated not to the Department of Public Instruction, but to ourselves in the Joint Finance Committee Supplemental Fund. And the governor was saying, no, this bill is clearly the one that allocates the funds, and I can use my partial veto powers on that. Because you guys in the legislature, you put it in this supplemental fund, and that's supposed to be used for emergency funding and for truly supplementing things where the money has run out of a certain fund. You can't just put your money in there and say, well, we'll decide where it goes later, because you know what that is, kids? That's a slush fund. It says, okay, we might approve this budget, but we're going to appropriate all the money to ourselves, and we'll dole it out dollar by dollar, whether, you know, as we see fit. Well, that takes out the checks and balances of the executive branch. The legislature approves the budget and says, here are the places the money should go. And then the executive branch, the governor's office or agencies like the Department of Public Instruction, the DNR and all that, they then take that allocation and dollar by dollar put it to where it's supposed to go. But the legislature wanted to micromanage it. Well, the Supreme Court unanimously, I hasten to add, went along with the Republican point of view that said the thing that Governor Evers vetoed was not actually the bill that allocated the money. And so the veto does not apply. And so the money goes the way that the legislature wants it to go. And Republican legislators were saying yesterday, in reacting to the court's decision, that's great. Now we are ready to release the $50 million because some of it can go toward, you know, voucher schools. Some of it has to go to this curriculum or that curriculum. Basically, all the micromanagement that the legislature wanted to do. They get to do it their way. I don't think that that was the right way to go. I think the lower court got it right. The lower court said that essentially this could be an abuse of power. If you allow the legislature to play games and split up the way that you allocate money into multiple bills, that this one has the money, this bill has the rules, and this bill says what accounts the money can go into. The lower court said those three bills all together, they make up the allocation of the money. And so the governor has the right to partially veto any of those bills along the way. The state Supreme Court said, no, the precedent says we have to apply something called the four corners rule. And that if you look at all four corners of the bill, is it really a budget bill? And this one that talks about where the money should go to which account is not actually, it does not actually fit the four corners test. But I think that, again, the circuit court was right when they said, well, the four corners rule allows the legislature to balkanize or hide the appropriations bill and vastly circumscribe the governor's partial veto power granted under the state constitution. That's how the lower court wrote it. What I feel has happened here is that the state Supreme Court has fallen into the trap of what's called originalism, where the framers, or in this case, the people who wrote Article 5 of the Wisconsin Constitution, did not foresee the bad faith writing of legislation to balkanize or hide appropriations bills. And that's the same problem that we're having in a few other different areas. For example, the framers, the writers of the Wisconsin Constitution, could not possibly foresee that we would have a party operating in such bad faith that instead of using its power of advise and consent for cabinet nominations, that the Senate would simply sit on nominations. And the Senate continues to sit on well over 100 of Governor Tony Evers' nominations, from cabinet-level officers to the heads of state agencies to all kinds of boards and departments. And rather than giving them the speedy confirmation they deserve, they just sit on the nominations. And that way, they have the power to hire and fire this person of Governor Evers' choice. That's a complete and total abuse of the confirmation process, and we need to fix that to say, look, Senate, you can have the power to confirm appointees when they're appointed. So pick a time frame, 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, whatever it is. And if by that point you don't see a problem with this person, they're confirmed. Because otherwise, you become their employer, and you're not their employer. The governor appoints these people. But again, our framers did not foresee such bad faith actions by a legislature. And the same goes with what's happening here with this legislation and the literacy funds. By saying it's okay for the legislature to appropriate its money not to the Department of Public Instruction, but to itself, to this so-called supplemental fund for joint finance, that's just going to become one big old slush fund. And I'm not saying it's going to happen with this budget, although it very well could in light of this decision yesterday, where the legislature is going to put much, much more of its funding into this so-called supplemental fund and say, well, now we will follow it up with other little trailer bills that allocate the money dollar by dollar, but the governor doesn't have any partial veto power over it. Now, if this all sounds a little in the weeds, I hope that I've done at least a mediocre job of explaining the importance of this, of the checks and balances that have to exist, especially when you have bad faith actors, as we do with this Republican majority, using the power that it has entrenched in itself over 14 years of gerrymandered maps, abusing the confirmation process, and now abusing the budget process as well. This legislature wants to be able to double dip in that it wants to approve the whole budget, but then it wants to approve dollar by dollar the allocation of that money, removing executive branch authority. And it's not supposed to work that way. We do need reform, but we're going to need a new legislature to get there. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, I will tackle the other puzzling state Supreme Court decision, one that keeps the gerrymandered congressional maps in place for at least another cycle. But today's history lesson is next, as we always do. Mornings, powered by Up North News, here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Vikings and beekeepers, Vikings and beekeepers. You have to be of a certain age for that one, the old SCTV skit. All because on this day in 1870, at the National Theater in Munich, Wagner's opera, The Ride of the Valkyries, was introduced, which for those of us of a certain age is just all about the old SCTV skit, or, you know, the old SNL stuff. Which begs this question, said the old man. What is the SCTV or the SNL of today? And not just SNL. I mean, obviously Saturday Night Live has been on for 50 years, but, you know, every so often other comedy skit shows kind of come and go. You know, Dave Chappelle had one for a while. Key and Peele had something for a while. What other ensemble comedy shows have we had recently? Are there any good ones right now?
I don't know if there are any ones like that.
I don't know either, and that's the thing.
There's like game show, like Taskmaster in Britain.
That's true.
But
yes,
that's different.
And there was After Midnight and things like that. But yeah, but skit shows. Anyway, so discuss amongst yourself. I think the market is ripe for a new one. Let's get back to the history lesson here. Happy 87th birthday to singer Billy Davis Jr. of the Fifth Dimension. Baby, come as you are, with just your heart. Billy Davis Jr. and Marilyn McCoo, both of the Fifth Dimension, still performing from time to time. And Billy Davis Jr. is 87 years old today. Singer Chris Isaak turns 69 years old today. Happy 67th birthday to the lead singer of Scandal, Patti Smyth. I love her in The Warrior and just about anything else that she does. How's this for a trio of birthdays? All three of these actors were born on this day in 1970. 55 years old today, actors Sean Hayes and Chris O'Donnell and Nick Offerman all turned 55 today. So happy birthday to all of them. Happy birthday to country singer Gretchen Wilson. She is 52 years old today. Oh, I skipped one. No, keep going. Keep playing it. That's Terry Nunn.
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I read ahead. This is Terry Nunn. She's the lead singer of Berlin. I lost my spot on my document here. So happy 64th to Terry Nunn. Now, here comes country singer Gretchen Wilson, who is 52 years old today. Yes. There we go. Love that song. Derek Jeter, baseball legend for the Yankees, is 51 years old today. Singer Ariana Grande is 32 years old today. And the number one song this day in 1965 was by Bob Dylan. Well, I mean, he wrote it, but it was the Byrds who took it to number one. Which seems kind of odd that Bob Dylan didn't take it to number one, but, you know.
You would think for how big he was.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Birds did some really nice versions of others' tunes. And so, yeah, they were the ones that took it to the top of the chart.
I don't think I've ever heard of the Birds.
Let's see. What do we got on the, on the national day calendar? Today is National Barcode Day. Because it was on this day that the barcode, the universal price code, was used for the very first time in a grocery store for on a pack of Wrigley's gum.
Sure.
The first time that a customer used it. You seem so completely unimpressed by that. This was 1974. 51 years ago today, a barcode was used for the first time, and we all thought the robots are taking over.
Okay, well, I will agree this is like, that's like a big thing for efficiency's sake. In my head, I was like, oh, Pat, what's your favorite barcode?
My favorite barcode?
Yeah, that's where I was going. Like, is there like, can you see like, oh, I like the one that looks like that.
No,
oh, the Sprite
one
is
about,
so good.
It's just about the invention of it. It's not that one barcode. And now since that time, of course, now we have the QR codes. Uh-huh. With the little tiny squares and things.
Yeah.
They can make little pictures out of them, make them look so
that one, you could do what I'm saying.
That's true. You could go, oh, look, that one's adorable. It looks like a puppy. This is National Bomb Pop Day. You know, the red, white, and blue popsicle things that look like a rocket.
Forgot about those.
Those were a big deal when those were introduced. This is National Beautician Day. National Canoe. There's a lot on
National
this.
National Canoe Day.
Canoe Day.
Pat, there is a pitcher for the Madison Mallards. His name, Cadu Lanou.
Cadu Lanou?
Yes.
Cadu Lanou.
It's fantastic, right. And I'm sure he has a canoe.
You could make a song out of that one. Okay. This is National Chocolate Pudding Day. This is National Work From Home Day. Check.
Congratulations, Pat.
Yep.
You're living out your dreams.
Yep. It is another birthday, Aubrey Plaza. It's her birthday today. Let's see. Did I miss anybody else on there? Nope. There's one more to note here. Oh, World Refrigeration Day. Again, one of those things that we take for granted. Sometimes we forget just how lucky we are living in the world that we do. But there are plenty of other places still in the world where, you know, refrigeration is not commonplace and where you have easy food spoilage and foodborne illnesses and things. So, again, count your blessings to be here where we are on World Refrigeration Day. Coming up in our next hour, we're going to, like I said, talk about the state Supreme Court making a decision to keep the congressional maps in place at least for one more cycle. We're also going to talk about child care support. As you know, Governor Tony Evers has said that he won't sign the next state budget bill unless it includes funding for the Child Care Counts program. Well, scrolling through social media yesterday, I found the remarks from a Republican state senator from the Rice Lake area, and obviously it hit some people the wrong way. And again, it's very much in line with, you know, the comments from people like Senator Ron Johnson saying, you know, I don't think it's our job to take care of other people's kids. And if that's the way you want to look at how we as a society raise our children all together, we clearly have different values. So we'll cover that as well. Two more hours to go as we continue rolling along on another one of those Thursday mornings powered by Up North News. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.